Hello, everyone.
The topic of this audio blog post, again, one take audio blog post. I do not edit them. I just outline them and start speaking. The title of this one is Pot Roast in a Drawer. All right, so take a step back and you'll figure out what the title means later on. My niece is coming to visit me tonight. And anyone who knows anything about me knows that I absolutely adore my niece. She's just so wonderful to me. And I got to spend the first 7 years of her life with her practically every day. And we're incredibly close. And if I were to have a terminal illness and you were to ask me on my deathbed what my greatest accomplishment was in life, I would say when I chose to spend time raising my niece and nephew instead of doing many of the other things I could have chosen to do when I was in my late 20s and early 30s. Best decision of my life. By far. Nothing even comes close to second. Even though there are lots of second and third and fourth things that I would choose. So she's coming to visit tonight. And I had a conversation with a client this week. And there's no way you'll know who this client is. I would never reveal any information that would ever in any way violate coach-client confidentiality. But this is a general story about what many of my clients have experienced. And that is, at what point are you involving yourself in your children's lives where it's helpful versus harmful? And especially when your child seems to be suffering or troubled, when should you step in and try to solve the problem? And it's not that my niece right now has any particularly large problems, but I love spending time with her because issues come up. And I often think to myself, well, when do I offer advice versus when do I listen carefully and simply acknowledge the situation that she's in and validate her feelings, which are two very important steps, which 99% of us forget to do. Most of us either don't want to talk about that person's problem and then we make it about us. So we talk about similar situations we have been in immediately instead of really acknowledging what the heck their story is about. Most of us don't validate feelings that other people are having. We tell people, don't worry about that. Don't be nervous. Because it makes us nervous that someone else is nervous. Again, we're making it about ourselves. One of the greatest things you can say, and I always laugh with my best friend Jamie, and I always tease each other because when we are upset, one of the first things we'll say to each other is, it's perfectly normal to feel the way you feel right now. And it's become a joke because we know we're just practicing validation. It's so obvious that we are. But it still makes you feel better, that it is perfectly normal to feel whatever you're feeling. That's the normal part. How we act upon that feeling is where I would say we need to be evaluated much more than on the feeling itself. Feelings are feelings. They come and they go. They often come and they go much faster than we think. It's the actions that matter in life, not the feelings. Feelings are just feelings. It's like thoughts, too. We overemphasize thoughts, too, in life. Thoughts are thoughts. They come and they go. It's what you do with them, how you act. So it's really important to tell people that it's okay to feel the way they feel, whether it's a child in your life or an adult in your life. And so my niece is coming tonight, and I'm sure I'm going to hear all kinds of interesting things that are going on in her life, and I want to really practice just acknowledging what they are and validating whatever feelings she has. Obviously, if she asks for advice, I would offer it. Often I offer it by telling stories from my childhood. They're often stories about when I made the wrong choice, in my opinion, so that she can learn from many of my mistakes, but also to share with her that we all mess up until we become much better at something. If I think about the first time I coached, for example, the very first client I had, I remember him well. My God, did he get a suboptimal Scott coaching experience versus a client who would hire me today, who would get the very best coaching experience. So what does it have to do with pot roast? When my sister moved to Philadelphia for college, we used to visit her from time to time. I'm younger. And one of the first times we visited her, you have to keep in mind that my family, first of all, are many of them are like gourmet Italian cooks. My grandmother was phenomenal. Now, her repertoire was somewhat limited, and I have to be careful saying this because I feel like a lightning bolt is going to strike me from the skies. It was somewhat limited, but what she could cook, boy, could she cook. And I sounded very New Jersey there, but it's true. My mother, on the other hand, what I would also consider a sort of a gourmet and loved to cook and had a far more diverse repertoire. She would try a lot of different kinds of meals. Again, amazing cook. And so when we visited my sister, so this is when she was like in her early 20s and she had a boyfriend and they had a new apartment and she just wanted to show it off and to show that she had grown up. And we came over the house and she was going to make us pot roast. And she had never made it before, even though that was a dish that my mother made and she just wanted to try it out. And so she put the pot roast in the broiler and started to cook it and realized an hour into it that it wasn't cooking. Because it turned out that if you have a gas stove, the broiler is the drawer at the bottom of the stove. At least that's the way, the bottom of the oven. That's the way it worked in our house. So she assumed that the drawer at the bottom of her stove slash oven also was the broiler. Well, it turns out if you have an electric stove, it's just a drawer. So she was trying to cook a pot roast in a drawer. It's like you might as well put it in your sock drawer. It's still not going to cook. Today, my sister is one of the best cooks I have ever witnessed. In fact, she makes things better than my grandmother made. Her Italian sauce is phenomenal. And when she mixes the sausage in there, oh, Marone, it's so good, right? And it didn't start that way. Let your children mess up. Let your children put pot roast in a drawer. Let them laugh about it. And the only way they can laugh about it is if you learn to laugh about your mistakes with them as well. And the reason why no one got upset about the pot roast in a drawer was because my mother's response and reaction to it was pitch perfect. She shared a story about how she messed up the first time she cooked. And it just made the situation light and easy, and it became a great joke in the family. It didn't make my sister insecure. It didn't make her never want to cook again. In fact, it motivated her to practice and practice and practice and practice. Until today, I consider her one of the best cooks I've ever experienced. So when my niece visits tonight, I hope whatever she tells me, I hope whatever she's experiencing, that I can remind myself that she's only 20. And we have to give her the opportunity, as we all deserve to have the opportunity, to experiment and reflect and mess up and reflect and do well and reflect. It's that combination of putting yourself out there and reflecting on the experiences that you're having, giving yourself time to allow the experience to happen so that you can evaluate it carefully, whether it's about cooking or about an internship that maybe you're thinking about taking, or about an exercise regimen you're thinking about starting, or a particular way of eating food that you've been trying out, or a friendship you want to explore, or perhaps an intimate relationship that you want to explore. Giving yourself a chance to put yourself out there, knowing that if you mess up in any way, if something goes wrong, that's all part of the process. I often tell my clients, the failure is when you don't try. The failure is not if you fail. I always say, they're micro failures. That's how we build an extraordinary life. That's what makes life worth living, is that if we're failing, we are learning from that and we make adjustments. Does that mean we fail less as we get older? I think we become more risk averse as we get older. I think that's natural. But I also think even if we don't become as risk averse, there are exceptions to that. I know people who are still open to taking risks as they age. The failures aren't as serious. We already can anticipate many of the mistakes we probably would make because we made them when we were younger. And no one learns better than from their own experiences. No one likes to be lectured at. So tonight I'm not going to lecture my niece. I'm going to let her put a pot roast in a drawer. And I'm going to teach her that that's often the first step to becoming a gourmet cook.